Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on Just Ball Things, Jack is joining me live from Melbourne as we discuss all things NBA this week. Like, where does Steph's latest injury leave the Warriors? Whether James Harden is the best player that D'Antoni has ever coached? And whether the Boomers will kick some serious butt against Team USA in the upcoming match in 2019? We'll be discussing Rudy Gobert's claim at Defensive Player of the Year, and we'll also be touching on Brad Stevens for Coach of the Year. And off topic this week is dinosaur inspired. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things. With me today, not quite from the sunny London, England,
I'm here.
But right here, right next to me, I'm touching him now.
I'm touching his knee.
Is the J-Man, Jack Manuel. How are you, mate?
Very well rested, Nick. Good to be in the land of Melbourne where there's a bit of sun. It's no longer the sarcasm of sunny England. It's the real, actual...
It's the real sunny Melbourne.
It actually is pretty sunny today. And yesterday, like, I literally rock up and it's like raining. I brought it with me.
It was a bit of a dreary day yesterday, but the Friday and the Sunday has definitely been quite favourable, so good time to come back.
What's your name again?
And my name.
Yeah.
My name.
I always ask you what your name is because you always forget to do it.
I mean, I believe that you always forget my name. I mean, you need an introduction every week. My name is Nick Busink. And just as a little tidbit about myself, I have a 2.5-inch toe.
The
pause, yeah? The pause got you.
You planned that pause, didn't you? So
2.5-inch toe.
What type? But big toe, pinky toe?
I'll show you right now, Jack.
I can see it. For the people that can't see it, Nick has his foot.
It's the toe next to the big toe.
So the... Okay, yes. Yeah, so.
And I've always known that I've had big toes, but I was sitting here with my lovely girlfriend.
And you were measuring toes just, as you do in your free time.
Because we were watching TV, and we were just looking down the bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Towards the TV.
Hey.
And I was just like, God damn, my toes are big. So I measured. And yeah, 2.5 inches. That is a sizable toe, Jack.
All right, I reckon we need to have a break this podcast because I want to see or at JBT Nick, if you think that is a large toe, if you've got the size of your toes in comparison, because I'm not sure.
I mean, my toe could be a finger. That's when you know your toes are big.
Maybe. Well, with that, let's speak about basketball. Is that what we do in this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Or do we speak about like human oddities? Because we speak about some random shit.
I mean, you know what they? I mean, you know what they say about big toes?
Big,
very low self-esteem.
And that's both of us, and that's why we do podcasts for validation, and that's why we do the Busick Manuel scale.
Mm-hmm.
It validates NBA facts, Nicholas, doesn't
it? Right. Yep. For those of you who are new, this is a scale created by us. It sums up how likely things are to happen to NBA from toes. To from
fingers,
fingers,
knees,
rumors, hot takes, whatever. Shoulders. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just a straight up fact, depending how likely those things are. First one here, mate. Steph Curry
injured again.
MCL. The bumbling Warriors.
Yeah, they need to like trade all their centers against someone that can actually not injure someone. Bloody hell.
I mean, they invented the small ball game. Just don't have any big
game. Keep Jordan Bell out there, keep Draymond, and just don't play JaVale and Zaza until jump time.
So he has
recently injured his MCL.
His knee, yeah.
Yes, and he'll be out for an extended period of time. I should be back.
I said that
two to four weeks, wasn't it?
3 to 6. So there's a 2 to 4. Yeah, I think because him and Kyrie had injuries, obviously not of the same nature, but both of them are knees. But Steph's injury could leave him out of the first round of the playoffs, which is, funnily enough, similar to KD where he was last year. When he missed out with that injury at the end of the year, he thought he was going to miss the playoffs. So obviously good news, I mean, if there is good news to come from it. But Nick, his constant injuries, are they a worry for the Warriors' short-term and also long-term success? Because we've...
Double-pronged.
We talked about Steph Curry's ankle injuries before. This MCL, I don't think he's had many knee... injuries before.
It's all been revolved ankles. Around his ankles, yeah.
And that's obviously how they got him in that 4-year, $44 million deal, was able to sort of build this dynasty that they have. Now he's on the Super Max, like the Super Max, which I think him, Wall, Westbrook, and I think Kawhi could be getting soon as well. Just a heads up as well, we're not talking about Kawhi this week. We might talk about it next week.
No, we are not.
But does this hinder their obviously short-term success in terms of this year's playoffs, but long-term as well, if they wanted to continue to build around him, because he is the guy, KD, Clay, they're all sticking around. If he can't get out there, and they've already offered him that max deal, it hinders their ability to attract free agents as well. So I think it's double-pronged. If you want to, you can attack this from like two ways, where it's like fact for this year and alternative fact for next year. What do you think?
I mean, this year, it's a... They're a worry. They are. I think it's a hashtag fact.
We've talked about this, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't so much of a worry earlier with his
ankle.
I still believe that they could bounce back, but now this is the second injury in a week. It's like you get those players who are just injured all the time. It could be completely different injuries. Obviously, the same ones seem to aggravate in Steph.
Yeah.
But players that are injured just find ways to get injured.
Yeah, Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose has had a million different things happen to his body. Blake Griffin as well.
They seem to be
completely misfortune.
Yeah.
It's complete misfortune. And yet it happens to the same players over and over again.
Yeah.
It's almost like misfortune, but there's some sort of reason that it keeps happening to these players.
Basketball karma for them. Or yeah, exactly. Weird way.
It's like, yeah, some the sort of strange gods. Entity is controlling this. I'd say it is worrying. Mainly because of the length of his contract as well. That's more the long-term success.
Yes.
I think you mentioned he'll be 34 when
by the end of it. Well, he had his 30th birthday, we all saw. And that max, I think, takes him to 34, 35. So, I mean, Steph has an ability where he could just be a spot-up shooter going forward. So that helps him somewhat. But his success has been predicated on being able to get to the line. He's one of the best free throw shooters in the NBA. But in terms of the impact on short-term, you know, the Warriors have a 120.4 offensive efficiency with Steph Curry on the floor this year. That's via ESPN Stats and Info. And that's the best team offensive efficiency with any one player on the court over the last 20 seasons. Steve, and it was actually him as well last season with 118.1, and also Steve Nash and KD over the past few seasons as well. So the impact that he has offensively, we've mentioned to death. And also the effect that he has on his teammates. So the Basketball Economist put out a good tweet. I'm not going to explain it at length. But basically, we know, obviously, Steph Curry gets easy shots for Draymond, for Klay. Because he draws that gravity away from them, where Klay can be just a spot-up shooter. Draymond gets open three-pointers rather than contested three-pointers. KD as well. So it just, the gravitas that he has around, and it would be the same with Kim and Durant. But Steph, obviously, is the guy in Golden State. So... Long term, it's a fact. Short term, I'm going to give it Wiki because I think there's still, you know, if he's back by the start of the playoffs, he's back by the finals when they're likely to versus the Houston Rockets, it could mess with momentum, but I still think they've got a chance because they are, at the end of the day, the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, I saw a tweet that had something like, just listed all the injuries that are currently on the on the Golden State roster, and there's, you know, 10 to 12 guys on that list. And then, top rated comment, watch them win the final. Watch them all come back and win the finals. And I'm just like, yeah.
We do say, though, and this is across all sports, health is the number one thing. So, Houston Rockets right now, James Harden was having some injuries last season going in towards the playoffs. He's completely healthy now. You know, they've been resting players. They've been resting Chris Paul. So, I think the Houston Rockets, definitely watch this space for those guys. The West isn't as open as... is much more open than it has been in previous seasons. You know, the Warriors certainly do look somewhat shaky. Not shaky, but like maybe a little bit fidgety.
Yeah, and I mentioned it last week, is that mentality. It's like, yes. Teams can think, teams know that they can take him down now, and that's going to be dangerous.
All in the head, Nicholas. That's but it. We just spoke of James Harden. Now, James Harden, Mike D'Antoni made some comments earlier in the week. So he mentioned, James Harden is the best player Mike D'Antoni's ever coached. This is in light of the coach's comments following Harden's masterful performance against the Blazers. So to put this into perspective, Mike D'Antoni has coached Kobe Bryant at the Lakers. He's coached Carmelo Anthony at the Knicks. And I believe he has coached Steve Nash of the Phoenix Suns when he was Steve Nash. And I think he's probably, for me, the number one contender of this. Kobe was sort of fading somewhat towards the end of his career. He was still the guy. But right now is sort of James Harden at his peak. Mm. And people are even comparing him to Kobe Bryant in terms of his offensive game overall, because obviously he is one of the best passers in today's NBA. He gets to the line at a rate that is just ridiculous. But for me, I give this a wiki because I find it hard to separate Steve Nash, who's one of my favorite players. So there's an element of bias for me. And in the way that sort of Steve Nash helped inform Mike D'Antoni's coaching philosophy. Mm. James Harden is almost the epitome of it. And then some. So he's sort of been able to like juice out his philosophy and make it even further. And just absolutely ridiculous because obviously Steve Nash became a great shooter. Mm. James Harden's always been a great shooter. Mm. And then, you know, he sort of threw the ball into his hands. You're a point guard now. We all know that infamous moment and sort of how it's spanned from there. So I think that it's a wiki because for me, Steve Nash might be, he's a two-time MVP. Now, James Harden's obviously likely to be an MVP this year. And Steve Nash, you know, there was questions around the fact that he shouldn't have won those MVPs. There's questions about the fact that James Harden should have won maybe the MVP that Steph Curry first won. You know, he's been a top contender over the past 4 years. So I'm giving this wiki because, you know, James Harden is fantastic, but, you know, Kobe, Melo, Steve Nash, this is a pretty good company as well.
Yeah, of course. Best player that he's ever coached, possibly at the time of that Mike D'Antoni has been coaching.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kobe is... Kobe would be the best player out of those, out of that three.
Yeah.
And of course, over his whole career. But, you know, you can take the rookie year of Kobe Bryant and whoever was coaching that. If he only coached that one season, then you could say, well, yeah, okay, Kobe Bryant's the best player he's ever coached. But he wasn't the best player when he was coaching.
And he had Steve Nash at his prime. Exactly. So I think that's why the main comparison comes.
But I think James Harden has benefited from Mike D'Antoni's time with
the coaching for the best in him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's that philosophy that was instilled early that has been continually worked on.
Yep.
And now in a current NBA style that suits the system and the players and the set players perfectly, Harden is the beneficiary of all this.
Yeah.
Of all this culmination of knowledge and all this time and experience. Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna give this one a
fact it.
Screw it. Let's fact it.
Why not?
Fact it.
One of us has to because I was so borderline on it that, you know, it's and I think you make a good point. And we talk about the Golden State Warriors and how they've sort of changed offensive schemes and, you know, the ISO play of James Harden and Chris Paul that has sort of been instilled by Mike D'Antoni this year. And just how he's given free rein to James Harden on that end, you know, could be changing the NBA because we saw that, like, we think that ISO plays are almost the worst plays that you have. But if you could put the ball into your best player's hands, who knows what can happen? So, but a player that loves having the ball in his hands as well, I'm trying to do my segues as good as possible. It's a bit hard to run on the spot. I don't know. I feel the pressure sitting next to Nick. But with the news that Kyrie Irving had surgery and could be out for up to 6 weeks, obviously he had some. I quote, non-invasive surgery on his knee. I think there was a rod in there that was causing him some friction.
I think some screws or...
Screws, there rods.
Some sort metal. Of metal.
There's a metal that's... I would not like to have metal inside me either, unless, you know, I was getting banged by a transformer or something.
That's a weird thing to say.
I don't know why I said that. But with the news that Kyrie Irving had surgery and could be out for up to 6 weeks, the Celtics, Nicholas, hot take here, will be blown out of the playoffs in the first round.
Oh, bang. Bloody hell.
If they take on the Heat, now this is one that a lot, and even Bill Simmons, the Celtics god, Celtics fan god himself, does not want to take on the Heat. I reckon they're against anyone. The Heat are probably their number one sort of contender that can take them down, I reckon. Even the Bucks, like you look at Giannis. So I think if the Celtics don't have Kyrie Irving, I don't think that they're very dangerous.
Well, they've been winning. They've had a decent record these
past... Yeah, Marcus Morris is going to be like your number one guy in the playoffs, apparently.
I mean, you look at it right now, and they are taking on the Heat, but you've got... See, it's interesting here. You've got the Wizards and the Bucks around them. I would be quite confident of the Celtics if it was against the Wizards and the Bucks.
Yeah.
The Bucks are too streaky for a seven game series. They might take one. They might take two. I have no faith that they will win that series. The Bucks will not win a playoff series coming from the 8 seed. No way. Wizards, will get knocked out of the first round as well. I have
a lot of love for your team, Nicholas.
I have lost all faith.
Gotta have faith.
I've lost all faith in my team at the moment. We desperately need John Wall back. And once we inject a bit of Wall, I'm sure I'll be hyped and...
Inject a Wall.
Inject some Wall. I think you just run into it. Of some regard. But if I were the Boston Celtics, I would not be... Miami Heat is the worst matchup for them.
Yeah, the Heat are basically the Celtics, but they don't have Kyrie Irving. The Heat are almost like a better version in terms of role players, like Josh Richardson, Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, Wayne Ellington. That is, and obviously they have similarly outstanding coaching. Brad Stevens, I will be mentioning him in the next busy Manuel, but Eric Spoelstra, perennial Coach of the Year candidate. He's obviously since his Miami days with LeBron, but you know he's obviously been underrated, similar to a Brad Stevens.
But then your playoff picture. You've also got the likes of Dwayne Wade, who's just big, big stars come up at big times,
big moments, absolutely. And I think that and Kelly Olynyk obviously
absolutely killed us last year,
and now he's with the Miami Heat. Could he do it to his former team? So there's certainly some worries there, and I think Kyrie Irving, because he has. That we talk about, you know, the playoff success of a guy like Dwayne Wade. Kyrie Irving's already had his big moments despite his, you know, relative sort of youth. He's still 25 years old.
That drained the hopes from the Warriors.
One of the best Cavs moments ever. But, you know, they need him. Plain and simple. They need him healthy. And if it's not by the first round of the playoffs, we could see them swept. So I'm going to give this Twicky. I like doing. I like combining, and you always swear when I do it. But I'm giving it Twicky because I think that the Celtics have some nice depth, but you know you also take into account the fact that Marcus Smart could miss the entire season. You know Jaylen Brown's just getting back now, and I think he's going to be fine by the. Hopefully his form will be fine by then. But you know, there's certainly some question marks around the Boston Celtics and their playoff hopes.
I'm going to give this one a little bit more credit. I'm going to give this a Ficky.
Hey, you go. You do it. Hey, I like
fact
it.
Wiki.
Okay.
Because they meet the Heat in that first round, can very easily see it going to seven games.
And I believe they've lost two of their three season meetings so far this year. So that doesn't bode well for a seven.
I always
game
like
seasons.
Going that once the postseason has started. Yeah. You look back at the regular season, yeah. You see the tie breaks. It's like, oh,
yeah,
they've won 3-1.
We don't know off the top of our head. There's so many freaking games. Like who was in that game? Who wasn't playing that game? But it certainly doesn't bode well. But speaking of, we mentioned Brad Stevens in passing there, but Brad Stevens is this season's Coach of the Year, Nicholas. So I think this was brought up on Twitter by ESPN's Chris Forsberg, who is a Boston writer for ESPN. And the fact that we talked about their success lately without Kyrie, without Marcus Smart, without Jaylen Brown, and you know how Marcus Morris has been balling and Terry Rozier has been balling. You know, Daniel Tice is out for the season now. Does that elevate Brad Stevens's credentials as a Coach of the Year candidate, or is it still Dwayne Casey? Is it still Mike D'Antoni? Is it still those sort of guys?
I want you to ask me again. I want you to ask me again. Is Brad Stevens Coach of the Year?
Okay, Nick, is Brad Stevens Coach of the Year?
Wrong.
Okay, Donald Trump doesn't think so. What do you think?
Wrong. Hashtag alternative fact.
Yeah, I'll agree. In fact, I won't agree. I'll speak about.
There is so much recency bias in this league. You see it. You see it in
all sport. I think it's in all sport.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Anthony Davis is MVP.
It's just in everything that we do.
Yeah.
Things that happen right now are the talking points, and so they get inflated. That's why Giannis peaking at the start of the year. We're just like,
chill, bruh.
Yeah, where everyone's just like Giannis MVP.
It's chill, bruh.
It's like, all right, fair enough. Now he's not even in the conversation. Brad Stevens, Coach of the Year. I mean, do we forget the slumps that, you know, he started hot and then slumped. Now, the Toronto Raptors are by far and away the best team in the East at the moment. Those those deficiencies. Yeah. They can't be overlooked.
You have to have a balanced view of where he's been, and I think Dwayne Casey has had, in terms of the season overall, and even preseason, there were questions around him as well. So I think that there's an element of that sort of gets forgotten. And I think, obviously Celtics fans will probably hate us, at the JMN, JBT. Yeah. Hit us up on email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. I think he got some love from us at otgbasketball.com in our round table. I personally voted for Dwayne Casey just because of how he's been.
He's got my vote.
And I think, you could, always chuck in a guy like an Eric Spoelstra. You could chuck in. I think this deserves an underrated love for Aussie Brett Brown. If the Sixers finish fourth,
yeah, that is amazing,
and get a home playoff round, that'd be ridiculous for a team that was, he was coaching, the trust the process tanking teams with Sam Hinkie. So I think Brett Brown deserves a little bit of love there. I mean, we could go on for days about all the
Nate McMillan.
Yes, Nate McMillan, another really good one you mentioned there, Nicholas. But speaking of Aussies.
Bang, bang.
Hey, I'm going okay with this. The Boomers are going to kick Team USA's butt as we would like to say, their ass. They're going to kick their ass, mate. For all our American listeners, please stay tuned. We still love you. But we love Australia more.
We do. And that's why this is a hashtag fact.
Yes, Nick!
I will be... Whenever these tickets come out, oh my God, I'm going to buy...
$3,000, we're courtside.
I mean, we'll be there.
We're going in debt for it. JBT Live from Etihad Stadium.
No, it's going to be an interesting game. We obviously kept up with them pretty well in Rio, I think it was, when we played when we played them last.
They didn't like our play. They didn't like the rough and tumble of us Aussies, mate.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you see Dally absolutely clotheslining Beal earlier in the year.
I love it.
Good old AFL tackle.
Get around it. Ben Simmons at the hip and shoulder to Morris.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got... we've got a good team. You line up the team. You've got Simmons, Mills, Dally, Thon, Jingles.
Bogey is a backup.
Like, there's your starting five there.
Bear style as
we've
well.
We've got a lot of length in our team with the likes of Simmons, Thon, and that's it. Actually, there's not a lot of length.
No, but Jonah Bolden as well.
We've got Baines as well. Aaron Baines.
So, like, we've got some depth in our team. Now, the thing is, and a lot of Americans are dismissing this, but this is these two exhibition games are a lead up to the FIBA World Championships. Mm. So I think that the American Team USA may take this somewhat seriously. Also, guys that are going to be doing their promo tours in US, in China, maybe Clay, maybe Steph, maybe even LeBron. We could see some big names down here. I'm not saying that. I'm locking it in the fact that it's going to be KD, it's going to be, an all-star lineup. But I think that there's a real great chance that we could see some of the best NBA players. I'm hoping we see Kyrie Irving because, we obviously has that Aussie connection as well. Mm-hmm. Funnily enough, I think on Basketball Reference, it says Duke/Australia, despite the fact that he was born in Australia and he left when he was two. Yeah. So I don't know why we still refer to him as an Aussie, but, us Aussies will claim anything. But I think, it's going to be a really, really fun... 2019, we're counting down the days, that's for sure. And the fact that it's two exhibition games as well, I think there's also, there's talks of, I'm not sure if it's been confirmed, but Serbia and a few other teams, Euro teams could be making their way down here. It's sort of a round robin tournament, which I think would be absolutely awesome. France, or a few other teams. I mean, Australian basketball is in the best state that it's ever been. Mm. And even next year, we could see Ben Simmons finally getting that all-star nod. He was unlucky to get it this year. He's going to be featuring very heavily in Rookie Watch coming up.
Yep.
He's had an absolutely outstanding week. And Ben Simmons leading us Aussies, he didn't get to do it at our last World Championship and our last Olympics. But, he said that he wants to lead this team, It'll be good to see Ben Simmons finally in the green and gold. And hopefully... I'm going to hashtag fact as well, Nick. I can't not be in Australia
You've got to have that patriotism.
We're all in.
We're all in. We're going to watch it.
Blindsided patriotism here, Nicholas.
I'll be going to both games as well. I'll be trying to go to both games.
I'm going to be
in quite a lot of debt.
If we might need to sit down. We've started plenty of GoFundMes before, but we might actually need a GoFundMe ticket, some tickets for this one.
All right. Next one here, Jack.
Yes.
Despite the time that he's missed, which has been plentiful, Rudy Gobert deserves Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, fact, Nick.
Oh, just straight up, bang, love it.
Fact, because he's the best defensive player in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, games, yes, obviously there are a factor. Joel Embiid was talked about being a possible Rookie of the Year contender last year, despite the fact he played 31 games. I think Gobert's on his way to play about 55 or so. He's at 47 right now. He plays the final 10 games, 57-60. That's enough for me. I reckon that's enough. And you know, you look at the impact that he's had. You know, I'm going via some stats from Andy Bailey. He's first in defensive real plus minus. He's third in defensive rating. He's third in defensive win shares per 48 minutes. He's second in defensive block plus box plus minus. And Joel Embiid and Al Horford are around that range, but they're nowhere near that status in those categories. You know, the real categories. And I think the offense, the defensive rating that, you know, the Jazz have had since he's been back is like something like 98 or 93 or something absolutely phenomenal.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he himself personally has a defensive rating of 100.
Which is... In today's NBA...
That is ridiculous.
In today's NBA, which are the pace and the space, the three-point shooting, there is no one that affects the defensive end more than him other than a Draymond Green at his peak. And Draymond Green hasn't been at his peak right now. And I don't think it's... You can't just give an award away for someone just because of... reputation. That's why I think Rudy Gobert has always been around this mark anyway. You know, he could have won it last year, despite the fact that Draymond Green, you know, was obviously a deserved winner. So I'm giving it to Rudy Gobert. And if for all the people that are like, what about games played? 55 games, if you can bring his team, I think with Gobert, the team's like 23-2 or something. Something absolutely phenomenal. You know, I think that there's enough for him where he is having the impact that he deserves, Defensive Player of the Year. Hashtag Fat Nicky Boy.
Yeah, and I know I shouldn't invite this, but his offense can help his Defensive Player of the Year candidacy.
Kawhi,
because it's exactly because it's not like things like an Andre Roberson can. People like Andre Roberson, obviously amazing, pure defensive, should be looked at in a similar vein in these categories, and they are. I mean, we were talking about Andre Roberson for Defensive Player of the Year before he got injured.
Yeah, we were.
Having Rudy Gobert being effective on the offensive end elevates him just as an overall player.
Yeah, definitely.
And then just. His defense gets his player status gets picked up as well.
Yep.
And so that helps his candidacy for Defensive Player of the Year. And you know, the stats are all there. It's amazing just to see his denial rate, I guess.
Yeah, players don't want to get in the paint against him.
Exactly.
You see Rudy Gobert there, you're taking a pull-up mid-ranger.
Yeah, damn.
Now, this is via Trade to Pay as of March 21st. The defensive rating during Utah Jazz's 21-2 run, which was since January 24th, they had a 94.5 defensive rating, and the second best is the Toronto Raptors at 103. To have an 8.5-point difference is the same as the gap between 2nd and 26th. Like, come on. I think... We love our stats here, and you know we can only take so much of them, and you take with them what you will. But those stats validate our point.
That's
completely.
Not even a small sample size. That is a quarter of the season.
Yeah, over a quarter of the season.
Over
23 games.
A game over. Oh wait, more.
Yeah, two games basically. Yeah.
Two games over a quarter of the season. So it's not exactly like you're taking a small sample size. I mean, I think I put in a stat last week when the Blazers were on this hot run. And
their defense,
I think I put in a 6-game.
Yeah.
And their offense and defense were just amazing. This is a 23-game span. Just amazing stuff from the Jazz, and Rudy Gobert has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Mate, I've got a bit of a curveball one here for you.
Oi, throw it at me.
All right. In light of, I think it was today. Was it today? Could have been today, could have been yesterday. Need to get my facts right. But I want to know whether Russell Westbrook's shirt that he wore with the 41 triple doubles on his shirt, whether that was arrogant as hell.
Well, I think Russ is known for having that level of hubris. And if you can rock it, and I mean, he rocks
everything. He can rock anything.
I wish I could. right now, I'm actually wearing a Russell Westbrook jersey.
There you go,
So, I'm all for it, mate. Arrogant? Yeah, hashtag fact. But does that mean it's not swag the hell out? I mean, Nick, if you had a triple-double, you would probably make a whole shirt out of it, and you'd get like, JBT on it.
A sash that said triple-double.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you'd won Miss USA or some
exactly,
shit.
Exactly, yeah.
Russell Westbrook can do whatever he wants. He's always going to have his haters, hashtag haterade. But I'm all for it. You know, Russell Westbrook can rock whatever he wants.
To the point where I actually want to buy this shirt.
It looks cool.
It's a cool looking shirt.
Good font.
Despite the fact that it's, you know, it is just...
It's not tacky though. I think that's a more pressing thing. Like, if it was like, you know, if it was tacky and it looked crap, like, then it would be like, I think we could go say it was arrogant, but it looked shit. But Russell Westbrook's known for his fashion, and he ain't going to cop anything that isn't 100% mint good quality. So, nah, mate, I'm all for it. All
right, good. Love it. I mean, I love the shirt too. I mean, wherever you're selling it, just please. I will
hit us up.
I will buy one.
Slide into our DMs. We want free stuff. We haven't got much free stuff as JBT hosts. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that's it. All right, bit of a coaching thing.
Coach Nick?
Here, I am Coach Nick.
Your coaching career.
My coaching career.
Yes.
My coaching career would have no future if the NBA/USA basketball recommendations were to go through. So those recommendations are to ban three-pointers from players 11 and under.
Also, before we get started, shout out to Nick's under-12s team who got... made the finals.
Yep,
but lost out due to some poor shooting. Funnily enough,
it was a mixture of things, but it was just open shots just weren't sinking. We were the better team on the day. Our defense was A+. Couldn't fault the boys.
Yeah.
It's just sink your shots.
You gotta shoot your shot and you gotta make it.
That's the bad thing about elimination rounds.
Yes,
I mean we've seen upsets in March Madness at the moment. Sometimes the better team doesn't always win.
Look at us talking about college basketball.
I mean, look at the Doggies 2 years ago.
Look at us talking about AFL now.
Exactly.
That's a discrepancy. So but no one's going to know about college basketball. Some people are going to have no idea about AFL. We cover all areas.
Exactly.
But I'm going to speak as you, Nicholas.
Right. So tell me how my coaching career is.
Your coaching career, I think you've got a really elevated philosophy. You're a smart dude. I'll give you that.
You're
switched on. And I think you want the best shots.
Wrong.
Well, Donald...
Trump doesn't think
Donald,
so.
Donald's going to... you know, he's had a big week. He's had a big presidency. Had a big couple of years, so he's going to get plenty of love from us. Not really, but, you know. Donnie T doesn't think that Nick is a great coach. Mm. I do. In his first coaching season, ladies and gentlemen, this would be like Brett Brown, who, mind you, was 9-73 in his first season, brought the Sixers to the NBA Finals. Nick brought a team to the NBA... WBA? Western Basketball... No, WBA. The WBA Finals. The Under-12 Association. And three-pointers, I like this because it's teaching the fundamentals to kids. Mm. You know, they're not going to be chuckers and heavers.
Exactly.
They don't have the physical like capabilities yet to shoot from anything over 10 to 12 feet.
Exactly.
So teach them how to do layups. Teach them how to do free throws. Teach them how to do those key things. Teach them the mechanics of how to take a good jump shot.
Exactly. I mean, if the weekend game was anything to go by, you hit your open shots from, you know, 3 to 5 feet out, then you can work on your three-pointers. And these kids take enough three-pointers as it is. They play basketball together at school. They play at after school.
Yeah.
Whenever they're not training, they're heaving threes.
Yeah.
Whenever they're not playing an
Thank you,
game,
Steph.
They are heaving threes. So it's just the way, it's just what's in, you know? So the fact that a lot of people are saying that, you know, this is the modern NBA, three-pointers, they're not developing that skill. They will be developing that skill themselves.
Yeah, they've already done
until
it.
They hit an age where they've grown enough so that they can shoot the three comfortably.
And efficiently.
I am 24 years old, and I can't shoot a three comfortably.
I can't.
Not comfortably. I have to heave it.
I feel like I can't even shoot a free throw comfortably.
Well, there you go.
anything outside of 2 feet for me, offensive rebounds, I'm struggling.
And may I just add, for players... under 11, well, we're under 12s, so even older than that.
Yeah.
Three-pointers aren't a thing. The three-point line is not a thing. If you shoot from three, it's a two, and you manage to hit it, but I've never seen a kid hit it.
Maybe they should institute that as well, because then that discourages them from taking it, as well as the fact of, you know, discouraging the fact that they shouldn't be taking it in the first place. So, nice little tidbit there to finish with, Nicky Boy. But speaking of coaching, the Magic and the Knicks should fire their respective coaches, respective coaches following the conclusion of the season, with recent news that Coach Hornacek and Coach Frank Vogel are set to be relieved of their positions following the season. Not sure what you think of this, Nick, but I think it might be a little bit haphazard on the Magic's part. The Knicks, I can see it somewhat in terms of rebuilding a sort of state, rebuilding their sort of franchise around a new coach, you know, new culture, that sort of thing. You know, I think Hornacek's had his moments with Kristaps Porzingis. You know, he's had some screen matches with him.
It's really just been a, like, I can't see how this is Hornacek's fault. It's been trades.
The coach is always
the coach is a scapegoat.
Fall guy,
but
yeah.
The Knicks have made some just god awful trades.
Yeah.
The Derrick Rose trade is obviously a glaring
Joakim Noah.
Exactly. That whole Bulls package.
Everything's not wrapped up in a neat little package with the New York Knicks.
I think he has done admirably with what he's done.
Give me a grade, like an A, B, C, D over his tenure.
B minus.
Honestly, I'm giving it a C plus.
Oh well, that's only one grade off.
B and C are big differences, Nicholas. If I say a C plus on
I'm at the lower end of B and you're at the upper end of C.
Yeah.
So
upper C, lower B.
Yeah. Don't wink at
sounds dirty, but yeah, I think you make a decent point about Hornacek, but at the same time, if you're rebuilding, you get new coaches, Derek Fisher was in before that. So I think, you know, the Knicks are known for being a sort of revolving door when it comes to,
it's a tough franchise to coach.
It's the Grandpa Simpson meme where he's like in and then he just walks out. It's a new Knicks coach. But in terms of Frank Vogel, he is a proven coach. He's taken in, you know, that Pacers team to the finals before. You know, I'm pretty sure he's got a winning record, if not a close to winning record. The Orlando Magic, we talk about sort of revolving doors for coaches. Dear Lord. I'm not sure what they would be looking to do. I think coaching is the least of their issues. Maybe bringing in some new assistant coaches. You know, they've revamped that front office before the start of the season. I'm not sure what he was supposed to do when you got guys like Bismack Biyombo, Nikola Vucevic in your front line. And, you know, you've got youngsters like Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Isaac around him. And they have no guards. So I'm not sure whether, like, you know, I think both of these coaches will coach again if they are relieved of their positions, especially Frank Vogel. You know, we talked about Fizdale. Fizdale could get either of these jobs as well. There's talk of David Blatt coming back to the Knicks. You know, I think the Knicks are looking for someone apparently that has a connection to LeBron. I'm not sure why. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I don't think that they should fire them. So that's why I'm going to give it like a Twitter. You know, I think that they could, and maybe it might be the right decision. But in terms of the reasoning, and in terms of, you know, long term future, it might make sense. But short term, you know, neither of these guys have been horrific. Vogel more so for me than Hornacek. But you know, I don't really understand some of the decision making from front offices and ownership.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, it's a big difference between whether the Magic and the Knicks should fire or will fire.
Will, yeah.
Will, yeah, but they probably
You're
will.
You're always about the technicalities
yeah,
with
I
my
am,
bloody
I am. You
topics.
Got word them right, mate.
Oh, you're bum, and then you'd come up
I think they will. Whether they should is a different story. The Magic obviously started so hot. Aaron Gordon showed those flashes of where he can be. Jonathan Isaac was their rookie this year, and the likes of Vucevic and the names that you said before. I mean, they've got a solid team. They have fallen off the face of the planet in the past few months, which is not boding well for Vogel's case. So if anyone deserves to keep their job more, I think it could be potentially Hornacek, because it's just been turmoil in New York land.
New York land. City of Apples.
For a while now. And I think in terms of who's done the better job, I'd probably say Hornacek has done Hornacek, or however you want to pronounce it.
I think it's Hornacek.
Has done the better job out of those two. So I don't know what I'm giving this one, mate. I guess because you've fused two coaches together and I've got two different opinions about it, and then I've got should and will. You've just screwed. I've got like four different ratings for this one thing.
What are you doing to me? We are not going to go to a break. We're going to go straight to JB Team of the Week, aren't we, Nick?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, let's try something different so we can talk more about it in our off topic. So you get 15 more seconds of this.
And our voices, you know, as much
But, you know,
as
the time we've talked about not going to a break
press
is the time that...
Press
you,
the button.
Okay. Curry, way down to Curry! Oh, what a shot from Curry! A Brady for the win! Yes! JB Team of the Week.
Perfect ending! For a historic day!
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the
Can
Week.
Can you not dance that music?
I know, I do it every week, and you, I mean, you can't hear it, so you miss out. But for those of you who are new, this is where we recognise the players who have been outstanding in their position over the week just gone. So, taking out the point guard position, no surprises here. The big Kemba Walker in a 61-point demolition of the Grizzlies. Walker was the main culprit, finishing with 46 points in just 28 minutes of action, shooting an extremely efficient 13 from 8 from the field and 13 from 18 from the field and 10 of 14 from the three. May I just add, you haven't written this down, he had a true shooting percentage of over 100% for that game. it's amazing.
What?
Yes, exactly. And the 10 of 14 was a franchise record. He had a 46 plus box minus, box plus minus, so he had a plus 47 there. And he became the third player in NBA history to make at least 10 three-pointers and 10 free throws in a game. Joe Dumars did it in 1994, and Kyrie Irving did it in 2015. So Kemba Walker taking out that point guard. It's been a massive week for JB Team, Jack.
Oh, boy.
You had your work cut out for you this week.
It's always freaking hard because I have to look at every single line from every night. Mm. I put in a lot of work on this doc every week, so I hope you guys appreciate it. JB Team of the Week especially.
That's it. Shooting guard, James Harden, future MVP, calling it now. Hot takes here.
Oh, well,
not that hot.
I feel that take is as hot as...
my toe, cold and big. Anyway, we discussed that earlier. Scored 42 points, and the Houston Rockets snapped the Portland Trailblazers' 13-game winning streak, 115-111 on that Tuesday night. He also added 6 rebounds and 7 assists in a masterful offensive performance from the MVP favorite there. Mate, take the front court.
When has LeBron James not been the small forward?
I mean, if you're keeping track at home, I'm pretty sure you would know how one-sided this JB Team of the Week is.
Out of our 22 shows, I think he's got at least 20 of them. But LeBron had a phenomenal week, and he had a phenomenal 40-point triple-double in the Cavs' crucial win over Giannis and the Bucks. 40 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. He also had a scintillating performance and an even better win over the Eastern Conference leading Raptors. 35 points, 7 rebounds, 17 assists with 0 turnovers.
That is amazing. 17 assists with 0 turnovers.
Chris Paul-like.
That is amazing.
And he also had a steal as well. He's the third player in the past 10 seasons to record 17 or more assists without a turnover in a game. Chris Paul did it twice.
Classic.
And Rajon Rondo did it twice as well. So LeBron doing... even the fact that he's doing such outstanding things in his 15th season, breaking records...
I mean, it is crazy that we're not even talking about him for the MVP. Yeah. But that's how good Harden has been this season.
Yeah, I know. And you can even chuck in a guy like an Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
Who, funnily enough, was not at our power forward position because he was overtaken by LaMarcus Aldridge, who poured in a career-high 45 points and fell just one rebound short of what it would have been a monster double-double as the San Antonio Spurs held off the Utah Jazz. Great win by them in overtime. 45 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. LaMarcus Aldridge, in the absence of Kawhi Leonard, has been leading his Spurs. We've talked about the fact that would they miss the playoffs? With LaMarcus Aldridge playing like this, it's anything but. They're going to be there.
Exactly.
And against my Nets, Dwight Howard had an historic night. 32 points, 30 rebounds. He led the Charlotte Hornets to become the first player since Moses Malone in 1982 to tally over 32 points and 30 or more rebounds, and made him only the 8th player ever with a 30-30 game. Dwight Howard, Hall of Fame lock, and a quietly pretty good season with the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, ever since his dismal last season with the Rockets, he's been steadily improving, which was, steadily improving from that season. All right, let's, massive week for JB Team.
Whoa!
So let's head to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella!
All-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson one, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, for those of you who are new, this is where we award 1, 2, or 3 votes to the rookies based on their weekly performance, very much like JB Team of the Week. Taking out the one vote, Donovan Mitchell was the catalyst for the Jazz's win over the Mavs. He put up 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. May I just add, that scoreline got one vote. That scoreline, Jack, got one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Two votes. In a Celtics tight upset win over the Thunder. Jason Tatum played an integral role. He had 23 points, 11 rebounds, nice double-double there, 4 assists, steal and a block as well, with a plus 23 in the box plus mod. Is that a triple-double, mate? Is that a triple-double? I'm going to give him the triple.
Oh.
I'll give him the triple-double nod. Mate, who's taking the 3 votes?
Before we move on, no? Okay, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons got his 9th triple-double in Philadelphia's win over Charlotte. He's 3rd in his past 4 games. Does his superstar racked up 11 points, 15 assists, and 12 rebounds in only 33
bang,
minutes.
Bang, bang, bang.
Also had 3 steals and, most impressively, 0 turnovers. Mm. He had another triple-double in a win over Minnesota, 15 points, 12 rebounds, 13 assists. Adam Formal of NBA Math, Simmons is just the 3rd player to have 0 turnovers over a triple-double game in their rookie season. Simmons' 9th triple-double is the most by any Philadelphia rookie in a season since Wilt Chamberlain recorded 31 in 1967-68.
Which is crazy.
It is also the 19th time the 21-year-old has racked up 10 assists or more, passing Allen Iverson for most 10-plus assist games by a 76ers rookie. And finally, Ben Simmons just joined Oscar Robertson as the only rookies ever to average a triple-double over a 7-game span.
And he got another one today.
That was the Minnesota
one. Oh, that was the Minnesota one. Yeah, yeah, okay, so right. Yeah, yeah.
So he is...
crazy.
Ben Simmons is certainly extending his lead at JBT's
World. I mean, for me, it was a little bit tight between Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons in that mid-season sort of...
Yeah, it was very close.
Winning Rookie of the Year.
Very close.
And there's not a doubt in my mind now.
No.
Not a doubt in my mind. And it should be... almost unanimous.
When in doubt, look to Rookie Watch.
Exactly.
When in doubt, listen to Off Topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What? 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 What?
What? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
Off Topic.
Off topic. All right, in honor of Jordan Clarkson comments earlier in the week on the Road Trip and podcast, great podcast, you should check it out, by the way.
Not as good as JBT.
Not as good as JBT, no. About humans having dinosaurs as pets. He's a crazy man. Thought we'd discuss, like, what is in that Cleveland water? Because Kyrie Irving with the Earth flat comments, I mean, come on, he's an educated man.
Do you reckon
man.
That there would have been these dinosaurs on the flat Earth as well? These are pets, would they... are they like a culmination of this weird Cavs alternate universe that they have going around there?
I don't know what they're about.
They're just dumb. Like, seriously, Kyrie Irving is dumb. Jordan Clarkson is dumb. You are both dumb human beings. Don't at me. You're dumb.
Anyway, we thought we'd discuss what animals we'd like to have as pets. Now, these can be as practical or impractical as you'd like. Obviously, yes. The impractical Lola... the better.
The betterer. I think you would just say the more impractical.
No, Jack. The impracticaler, the betterer.
We're going to start a GoFundMe page again for Nick to get him a word of the day calendar. Oh, his vocabulary makes me sick as a teacher myself. But, you know, I mentioned in this in passing that, you know, I'm often compared to a giraffe as an animal, as my sort of spirit animal. So I feel like, you know, I've got to just embrace that. You know, it's probably
have
not
a giraffe as a pet.
I'm going to need like some solid ceilings, or he might have to be like an outdoor giraffe.
Exactly. Logistically, how? I mean, okay. Here's a cool thing.
Yes.
You put a GoPro on the top of a giraffe.
Oh man.
Or the views.
Stuff the drones. I just need a GoPro on my giraffe.
Exactly, and you could spy on your how much. I think a drone is not as expensive as a giraffe.
I feel like Peter Griffin has gotten a giraffe before. I feel like we might be stealing ideas.
I'm sure there's an episode where he's
definitely got some sort of weird...
Episode of Modern Family where he gets a llama.
Llama? I'm not a big fan of a llama.
Or was it a camel?
Camel, I'd go.
Why?
More the humps, mate. I'm all about the humps. My humps. My lovely lady lumps.
I mean, personally, I know it's very impractical. I'd love a goldfish.
Yeah, they're the most impractical creatures you can have. Have you never had a goldfish before?
I have. They've all died. Very quickly.
I feel like ours died like while our parents were because like Chez didn't feed him. It was like his only job.
Oh, yeah, he's a good
he's a responsible man. But, Nick, give me some wild creatures out there. What about like a dragon or like a sphinx?
Well, dragons don't exist, Jack.
What about a unicorn?
Okay, I'd love a Kristaps Porzingis just in my backyard.
Do you have a drum roll there? Give me like a doodum-tsh.
I don't have a drum roll, but just it's not a doodum-tsh.
Play a soundbite that relates well to that witty comment. Cash money, baby.
That's as close as I can get.
Cash money. I mean, the pet, the unicorn is going to cost a lot of money.
It would.
So it's going to have, you're going to have to really
and
get
out. And, you know, the stardust that it eats will just chew away through my entire finances.
Do they eat stardust?
I have no idea, Jack, because they don't exist.
They do they?
I mean, I'm sure they eat magical carrots of some regard.
Shout out to my Mrs. Miss Ali Owen, who made a unicorn cake the other day. Quite tasty.
Ooh, that's cool.
Nice white buttercream on it. So
is that weird? If you were to feed a unicorn cake, is that weird?
Well,
is that borderline cannibalism?
She also made like a cat cake as well with chocolate buttercream. So feeding that to cats, would that be cannibalism? Like, I mean, who hasn't fed their pet chicken KFC? Who hasn't done that before? Who hasn't fed
their
pet dog Dim Sims before? Who hasn't done that before?
Are you implying that there is dog in Dim Sims? Because you would be 100% correct.
Jason Pham sent him some DMs on Facebook. I'm not sure if he's got a Twitter page. But, you know, we want to hear...
But animals as pets, Jack.
Yes.
Animals as pets. So, I would love a rhinoceros as a pet.
Yeah.
Could just riding downtown on my rhinoceros, no one. No one would dare mess with you.
Well, Bart had Stampy. What would you call your rhino?
An elephant. Yeah. I don't know. Fatso? Rhino?
What am I going to call you then?
Rinny?
Hiya.
Yeah.
You need some sort of like...
Witchy... Riri. Because it's Rhino.
I actually really...
Rihanno.
There we go. Yeah. We need like a really bad laugh track as part of our sample. But I actually do like that. I would call you all Rhino Riri.
Like something big. Like an elephant.
Yeah.
Like a rhinoceros.
What
like
a blue whale? Give me a blue owl.
Yeah,
chuck it up in the ceiling like we do it like one of those science
just fill
museums.
Fill up a little kiddie pool and you just chuck it in there. Yeah. You'll be right. Just sponge it every now and then. Give it a sponge. Give it a sponge bath.
Give it a sponge bath. I feel like we're not going to be taking responsible awareness in terms of our lofty pet creatures.
But speaking of exotic animals, Martin Gortat, I believe, I think he owns them, but then he... leases them out to a zoo. I don't know if that's how pet ownership works. Exotic pet ownership
maybe
works.
Maybe it does, yes.
But he's got all these exotic animals that he owns, but a zoo takes care of them, obviously. And he visits them, he sponsors them, he pays for everything for them. And you know, he's got tigers, he's got giraffes. He's essentially got himself a zoo. And so that's pretty close to owning some quite exotic animals.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about unicorns, but, you know, I wouldn't mind a tiger. They're the king of the jungle. So, I mean, they would be the king of the household, the Manuel household, that's for sure. We go to a zoo, like, you know, I wouldn't mind a dolphin.
Oh, yeah, but... I'm always concerned with that Simpsons episode where the dolphins rise and kill everyone.
True. But they are very intelligent creatures. Water-based creatures are just the tricky ones. That's all. So we need like land-based creatures. I wouldn't mind a toucan.
Just randomly?
Remember the
lollipop?
The popsicles or the ice lollies, whatever you want to call them for all of our international UK and USA listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I just like their beaks. I like the colour. I like colour on my animals.
Okay. Yeah, but what do they do?
They're...
Nothing. Like, birds are useless goddamn animals. You shouldn't cage a bird.
Heart in a Cage, Nicholas. Ooh. Great stroke song.
Yeah, it is.
Don't know how we got there. What do you got on Marching Gortat's Twitter page?
Jesus! Look how tall Marching Gortat is compared to his giraffe. He's almost as tall as the giraffe.
He is
a tall man.
It is a baby giraffe.
Yeah, but he is also a tall man. He is over 7 foot.
He is a Polish hammer. Does he keep them in Poland? That's what I want to know. Or does he keep these in like neighborhood Washington?
That's a good question. I'm not too sure. But this article here says he has a giraffe and two horses. I know that he's got more than that as well. It's interesting. Actually, horses would be like that's not a really impractical pet.
Ali's got horses.
But I would love to. I've never ridden a horse before.
Really?
Yeah, never ridden a horse.
Didn't you go like on one of the retreats in SPC where you had to?
No. I am far too fat to fit on a horse. Yeah. I mean, I'd break it.
Yeah, you got a fat ass.
I got a fat ass.
You got a juicy ass.
Yeah, I do.
But I feel like there'd be some fat horses out there for you, mate.
He considered naming his horses Pick and Roll.
That is
great.
That is awesome. Or Pick and Pop. I think Pick and Pop.
Pick and
Pop.
Oh, you're not a Pick and Pop player though. You do not want Marching Gortat on the pop.
Yeah, he's a better roller. He's a much better roller. But let us know, you guys, we want to hear your favourite pets, your exotic ideas for animal pets.
I mean, like reasons why. I mean, like a man-sized eagle, and you could just fly to work. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
But then it would probably, like, eat you.
Yeah,
because eagles are predators.
They are. They're very vicious.
And if they're big, then they're coming right for you.
Definitely. So jbtpodcast@gmail.com, at the JMJBT, at JBT Nick. Hit us up with anything basketball, animal, life related. You know, we are
anything.
We are creatures that are willing
if
to
this,
listen.
If this podcast is anything to go by, I mean, we've talked about basketball. Obviously, yes. We've talked about animals. We've talked about toes, appendages.
Yeah, Nick's mentioned science before.
I mean, we are not above talking about anything.
I am literally a jack of all trades.
Your name is Jack.
My name is Jack.
I get it.
He is a Nick of all trades.
Yes.
He's Nick. who's spieling?
You can spiel, mate.
All right.
You can spiel this week.
So it's time to
You're
spiel.
You're my guest.
I'm not really a guest.
You're your guest in my house, in
I'll
my recording studio.
Yes. That just about does it for another week, so we'd just like to say thank you for all tuning into Just Ball Things. Catch us every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Nothing But Net-Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do a solid, leave us a rating, review, subscribe, it helps us out a heap. You can contact us at the JMN JBT or at JBT Nick on Twitter. Sure, hit up at OTG Basketball. You can find some awesome NBA articles. There is a 2K League interview on the NBA outlet. I regularly appear on that. Make sure you subscribe to them as well. We're part of their podcast network. I've got an article coming out soon about D'Angelo Russell for all you Brooklyn Nets fans. And there's also the roundtable discussions about the Coach of the Year, Executive of the Year episode. Lots of fun stuff coming with OTG. We've got Facebook. Just search Just Ball Things. We're growing there. More always sharing some great articles.
Yep.
Some great highlights. You know, you want to keep up to date with what's going on in the NBA. Hit us up there on Facebook. And you can hit us up on Gmail. You know, Farhad is still the only man.
Good old Farhad.
Farhad, you want to hit us up with another email, mate?
You're a legend, mate.
We will absolutely answer any question you have, Farhad. He is the number one JBT listener.
Yeah, he's our biggest fan.
Numero uno is Farhad.
Forever, yeah.
We will fly to Qatar, Doha. We will do a live episode from your bedroom, mate, if that's what you want to have. So hit us up on email, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys who make the show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Keep balling, superstars.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.